Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
We are family. Hello, hello, hello. This is What is Love Show, and I'm Sasha Sugar, part of the Radio Free Brooklyn family. Happy Sunday, everyone. I hope you're having a great weekend. Most of you are probably spending it with your families, and I hope this time is not very troubling and heartbreaking as our family time usually is. Today's topic of What is Love Show is Family Constellation, Releasing Hidden Wounds. I'm really excited about the show. My guest, Nick Weber, is with me in the studio. I met Nick a few months ago, and I attended two of his workshops, and they were pretty profound and unique. When I mentioned to some of my friends the topic of today's show, none of them heard of family constellations. Some of them did hear of family constellations, but none of them had an idea of what family constellation is. So I'm really happy to break this news to you guys and to demystify family constellation and to show you how this quite simple but extremely profound practice and therapeutic method can be helpful in whatever spiritual, emotional, self-development goals you're pursuing. All right, Well, hello, Nick.
Hello.
Yeah, so good to hear your voice on the show.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, you sound pretty awesome. So actually, Nick just told me that he used to be a musician and he used to sing. So no wonder he has a wonderful voice on the mic. Well, thank you so much for coming to Radio Free Brooklyn to the show.
Yeah, and, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have the show today and to just, you know, talk about this amazing therapeutic practice that you've been doing for quite some time. Mm-hmm. All right. So just let's imagine that our audience has never heard of family constellation, or let's pretend your, you know, grandma, God bless if she's alive, listening to the show. How would you describe what you do?
Yeah, so that's kind of like the big question. So what I do is, it's a healing approach that looks at what people might feel are very personal issues from a systemic perspective. So what I mean by that is that you can see how anxiety or depression not only just sits in individuals, but actually can be tracked through family systems, so that these issues actually come down lineages and descendants carry them depending on what roles they play in the family. For example, someone might be very allied with a specific parent and actually out of like a child love of that parent starts to adopt some of those experiences of the parent, or plays out what's not being acknowledged by the parent. I think, you know, the thing that's challenging to talk about with family constellations is it means something different to everyone. And it means something different when you do it in groups and when you do it individually. But I think what makes it different is that it is a really experiential process. So it's very spontaneous. The person comes with a specific question. Me as the facilitator has no prior knowledge of that question. And then I'm asking the person to actually pick, can you pick a representative for, you know, people that are playing roles in this question. So if someone comes with a very specific family question, I might ask them to pick a role for, can you pick someone from the group, if we're doing it in a group setting, someone in the group to represent your mother or someone in the group to represent your father. And what's remarkable is, one, that strangers can actually play these roles with an incredible amount of accuracy, but that, two, when we're interacting with these people in front of us, instead of in our own minds, we're just that much more likely to have an opening and to have an experience that we wouldn't have thought of prior. So that's what I say. When I'm saying it's experiential, it's like you're interacting, you're kind of almost like taking this internal world that you have about all these stories that you have and making it an external experience in front of you.
Could you give us an example of what kind of questions people usually come with to your workshops?
Sure. So I would say a really common question is, I feel stuck in life and how do I move? it's very common.
Do you relate to that, anyone? Really?
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, it would be nice to be able to just say, like, on the radio, like, and here's the fix, everyone. I found it. It's not quite that simple. There's so many different reasons why someone could feel stuck. And again, that's the purpose of the work, is to find what is your reason for that.
And from your experience, what are some of the possible answers to that question that are coming from the families? And guys, just to let you know, all workshops that Nick is moderating are confidential. So obviously no names will be named during today's show. So the answers that we'll be getting from Nick are just kind of based on his overall experience, and not specific to a particular person.
Sure. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So stuckness can be so many different things. One thing that just comes to mind is being stuck at a time in your life can sometimes be the source of that. So the experience could be you know, presently the person feels like they're not able to leave a situation that's not feeling good to them, or they're not able to create, let's say, like a work-life balance that they're interested in, or create a relationship they feel good about. So there could be so many different ways that stuckness could be playing out in the present day. But when we look at a little bit of the stories of where they come from, often there is an experience, usually in this like critical time period before the age of 10, where something happened and they weren't able to talk about it, or something happened and they didn't have the resources to handle it. And there's a way where that experience is still being carried. It's stuck. And now their present life is almost like a reflection of how their childhood experience was.
And by something happened, you mean a major event in the family. Could you give us an example of what drove the stuckness in the early childhood?
Yeah. So I think one thing that would be helpful to just zoom out about is the work is family constellations, and we do talk about family, but it's not always about family issues. I think the way I like to put it is not everything is about family, but a lot more than we think is related to family.
Okay.
And so when I say someone could feel stuck in a certain type of emotion, let's say it's like some form of sexual abuse occurred. Maybe that happened in school or in a total setting away from the family. So it's not, and it was with a stranger. So it has nothing to do necessarily directly with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
However, it can be related to family, because if a child feels safe enough to express that with their family or not express that, that's a huge difference of experience for that kid. Do they feel like their family can handle that something bad happened to them? And do they feel that the family could make them feel safe again, even if something bad happened? So that's where how something that happens very separate from the family can actually, when we look at the family system, it begins to, working with the family actually helps change the experience. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. So just to also kind of give an idea to the audience, in terms of the analytical versus experiential versus emotional, you know, ingredients of this workshop, how would you, I guess, classify?
It's a great question. It's just such a good question.
Because, you know, if we were so smart, and we are all smart, of course, sure, but if we were able to just kind of analyze everything that happened in our life and draw the connection, okay, so I was, you know, sexual abuse when I was 8 years old. I talked to my mom about it. She denied me. Then that denial affected me in this and that way of my adult life. But I don't think it works like that, at least not with...
It's a brilliant question.
Not with all people. So how, I guess it's also interesting for everyone to understand how you as a moderator are able to pick on the potential things that could have happened that later on led to certain reactions or certain behaviors in the future.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a way in which there's a philosophy behind family constellations.
And we can talk about it as well, because again, this is, because this tradition comes from Europe, so it's not an innately American.
No, that's true.
So
yeah.
That would be really interesting. So
yeah,
feel free to historical discourse.
Yeah, but I feel like you're making a great distinction of there's this philosophy and we can talk about it, and if I keep talking about it, I'm going to sound like I'm a psychologist. I probably already do, and I'm not a psychologist. I'm a healer and I'm a coach, and I came to this work actually apprenticing under people that are world renowned in this approach. But actually the whole reason why I found this is because I felt that in my personal experience that talking through something actually put my mind into like doing head spins, basically, where I'd over talk something, overanalyze, and my mind is the one where it's like something happens to me and I can like rewrite the story 10 different ways. Oh, it must have been because this happened and those people must have been thinking this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never get anywhere.
And then you could just keep dwelling
exactly
in the same situation. Wow.
Exactly. So it's whenever I talk about the philosophy behind it, I'm actually, the whole philosophy is helping to see patterns of what happens when someone is doing the experiential process. So really, it's much more about what's happening in the room, how people are interacting, and it takes people out of their mind because they're not at recalling stories. Now they're interacting with literally a person standing in front of them. And what it also does is it gives just a little bit of space for something new to happen. Because if we're always in our minds, there's a way in which something new seems to happen less. It's much easier when you're in an interaction for something to surprise you, I think. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, what we need is to get out of our mind patterns.
But so going back to this question, right, about analytical ingredient or analytical aspect versus experiential.
Yes.
What is the science behind the like group dynamic? And because this is really so weird and mind blowing. But yeah. Guys, again, I've done twice the workshop, and one of them was yesterday. And I actually did build my family constellation yesterday. The workshop before then, I was participating in other clients' family constellations, and it was a profound experience because you really do feel the group dynamic and your body, whatever your energy, sensations, something is happening
yes.
in that group dynamic. But what are the signs behind it? How can you explain that?
Yeah.
With a little knowledge of the person's intent who comes to the workshop, it's really, we only know just basic information.
Yes.
So it's not that we are trying to replicate, by we I mean the people who participate in the workshop, that we are trying to replicate whatever the client or the patient had told us. Things happen organically in the group.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
So now you're getting at really the fun part, I feel like, of it, which is, I mean, for me, when I come into a group workshop setting and I'm surrounded by, you know, 95% of people are usually strangers, I think one of the most exciting parts is when the first person sets up their family system, they organize, you know, these strangers are just said, all we've told them is, you're going to represent this person's father, you're going to represent this person's mother, you're going to represent this person's brother. And I just guide them a little bit to just connect with your body, see where your mind goes, what are you thinking about? And I'll ask them after just a minute of that, okay, who are you aware of in the room? What do you feel towards your wife? What do you feel towards your son? And, you know, my favorite part of this is when the person on the outside of the circle whose family this is representing mm-hmm. just says, everything is perfect. You guys are reading this perfectly. And it's just, it's like the whole group, there's suddenly this like perking up of like, how is that possible? So there is an element of this work that that is like very biological. Mm-hmm. We're talking about family, we're talking about lineages and, you know, something very human, and it comes right up against something that is quite mysterious.
Yeah.
And you know, it's there are many people that have tried to explain it, and I feel like it's a challenging thing because if you layer explanations onto it, sometimes I think you're almost reducing it rather than just letting it be this very mysterious mm-hmm. and very useful tool.
But no, absolutely.
No, but yeah, I'm happy, which is not to say let's not talk about
it. But is there among the academic followers of this paradigm and tradition, is there a legit scientific explanation of this mysterious element? Or there is still room for just organically letting the group dynamic evolve without having to explain every single thing about it?
Yeah. So it depends who you speak to. So from the academic world, I mean, it is an alternative approach. So there are definitely voices in academia that, you know, it's not accepted in some way because it fits outside of, you know, what's standard and taught in schools. The science that's behind it that I like to go to is a doctor, Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, and he does a lot of work on something called field theory, which is how He specifically works with on animals, how animals work in groups and almost like have a collective mind. And part of his work is he's looked at how, you know, you go to the aquarium and there's schools of fish that are kind of like darting around together, that when schools of fish swim together and make these patterns, that the speed at which they change direction and stay together can't be explained simply by saying these fish are seeing the fish on either side of them and then turning with them. It's too fast. Their brain could not work that way. So what he suggests actually is that many animals have this capacity, like ants do, for instance, how they work together in groups, where they actually can assume almost like hive minds together in groups and work together. And that we actually, and so this is where this comes in with humans, is that obviously we have this like conscious mind and then this very deep unconscious. And in our unconscious, we know a lot more about each other than we realize.
Oh my gosh, now I get into my favorite part, the unconscious mind. Okay. Would you call it also like a high intelligence or the body intelligence? I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's so many terms for the unconscious and subconscious.
And I mean,
underlying minds.
Yeah. I think the one thing I'd like to add to that is, now I'm losing my train of thought a little bit. So this thing of this kind of spiritual concept of we are all one, for me, family constellations is the most literal experience I've ever seen of that in front of my face. That somehow people can stand up and be in a room together and suddenly know something about each other that wasn't verbalized. And then it's just like, you just said something that like my brother always used to say to me. How is that possible? And it's like, I think our minds can access a lot more than we realize, basically. And you just, that's what I would say some of this work is really just setting the conditions for that information to be able to come forward. Because we're actually very good at it. Everyone is.
Wow. It is pretty profound. But what I personally liked about family constellation is that I feel that there's so many alternative methods out there, but they might be a bit intimidating for a lot of people who are used to more conventional, traditional healing modalities. Family constellation is, I feel like, it's one of the most profound and yet one of the least intrusive modalities. You don't have to take any substance. You don't have to go into a deep meditative transcendental state. You hang out with the people like you, like normal people, no weirdos. I mean, we're all kind of weirdos, but it's like really just normal. Again, yesterday, a few ladies just said, oh, yeah, we just kind of, you know, checked out online and we decided it was a fun thing to do on Saturday to, you know, try this family constellation. Like people just, you know, come to explore. Some people come with concrete intentions, but it's all, you know, normal people get together in the room with a normal moderator, you know, normal looking moderator. And again, you don't have to take any crazy substance like ayahuasca, or, you know, you don't have to connect to pray to God, which all amazing methods. But it's a very, very kind of structured and well understood and smooth experience, and yet it's super profound because of this mysterious element of group mind or underlying group dynamic.
Yeah, so, you know, because the thing is, there you can do this in groups and you can also do this in individuals. And so I kind of have it in the back of my head of like, if there's anyone listening that are my one-on-one clients, they might not even recognize some of what I'm saying about the group style of this. So one-on-one, you can do similar things.
Yeah, let's talk about the comparison between the group dynamic and the one-on-one session.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just, you know, one-on-one, instead of using people in a group, you can actually use different objects. Sometimes I have these kind of colored footsteps that almost look like the footsteps that a detective in a cartoon might go after. And you can place them in a room and start to map out the family. Where would your father be in this situation related to whatever the intention was? Where would your mother be? Where were you in this situation? And then I can have the client step around the room and actually step into those feet and they're able to get a little bit of information that, again, it's like, where it comes from is kind of like becomes this question that who knows, but I'm interested in something. It creates a space for something new to happen, and I think that's what a lot of us need for healing.
And did you witness a little profound experiences during the individual sessions? Because I feel my mind would be too much in the way if I just did an individual session and I would decide or I would try to control how things were in my family versus letting the group dynamic evolve.
Definitely. Yeah, it's very powerful for people. Okay. But I will say that some people prefer one-on-one and some people prefer groups. And part of that also has to do with the vulnerability. You know, there is boundaries and the people that show up to these groups have an incredible generosity, but that doesn't mean that it's for everyone. Sometimes people much prefer to be one-on-one with someone they feel comfortable with.
Okay. Awesome. So guys, this is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you're listening to us live, you can always give us a call at 718-928-9732 and ask a question or share your own experience if you have any with family constellation. And you, myself or Nick will happily answer that question. Or if you want to book a session with Nick, you can also do it on the phone or on social media. Awesome. So Nick, I also like to ask my guests about their personal journey.
Mm-hmm.
I call spiritual awakening, but I'm also sick of the term. So maybe I should come up with a new term. Just how did you get into this? I just found out recently that before even being a musician, you also used to work in a similar sphere where I work now, advertising or, you know, marketing, and which gave me hope that it's not for the rest of my life. But how did you decide to study and practice family constellation and become a healer? Was it a calling or was it just something that you gradually came to in your personal life?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of those questions that it's like, you could probably ask me, you know, in another month and I have like a different answer than I do now. But it's like, there's so many different, obviously the details would be the same, but how I found it, you know, it's not all like a linear story. It's like bumping into people and having random experiences. What comes up for me when you ask it right now is I did, from a very young age, have this sense that the most important thing to me was to just be passionate about whatever I was doing. And I think that motivated me in a certain way where, for me, like I immediately dove into music after school. So I was playing in bands and I supported myself doing marketing stuff. But,
And this realization came to you, because I think it's crucial to be happy. So I want to elaborate a bit on that.
Sure.
So this realization came to you because you were exposed to the things that you loved doing and you just felt amazing, or it came to you as an opposition to the thing that you were doing and you were hating them?
So I think it was just this.
Some people feel like think that, oh, it's, it would be nice to have this thing I'm passionate about, but I don't think of this as, no, that's what your life is about. You have to be passionate because otherwise it doesn't make sense to even live.
Yeah, I'm realizing maybe what I said was a little bit loaded. Like, who doesn't want to feel passionate? I think for me, I always had this sense that I valued it a lot more than even stability in a weird way. So I was like always searching for things that were like, how do I pour myself into this? And like, I guess I was interested in art. There was a way in which I was supporting myself through jobs, but I was always doing a lot outside of those jobs. Okay. And so that's when I think about some of the story, it's like I did a lot of music and the bassist of one of the bands I played in introduced me. He literally said, do you want to come to a workshop that my therapist does? And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And no other information. I had never meditated before. No experience with it. Yeah. And I walked in.
And it was Family Constellation.
It wasn't, but okay. It was what led me to it.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was a work, it's called Focalizing, which is it's a somatic trauma healing approach. So really working with.
All right.
Just one second.
Guys. So somatic healing is another modality that Nick is working with. So it's not.
And it comes into my current practice too.
It's not strictly a family constellation. Right. It's quite different. So I'm just wanted to make it.
Yeah, no, that's helpful.
Division line here. Super so helpful. Yeah, let's talk about somatic healing then.
Yeah. So it really is just simply, you know, just like we were talking about before about how, you know, you can overtalk something and not get anywhere. Somatic approaches are, you know, let's say our intention. So it's maybe to feel unstuck, like we were talking about. And you allow your body to actually guide how, what's stuck there. So if you set an intention, it's amazing how quickly your body will actually start to feel tension in a certain place. And then in this approach, you'll actually, let's say you're feeling tension in your chest, you bring a process and attention to that area. So
for instance, you come to a session with you and I say, okay, I feel stuck with my feel of guilt. I'm just making this up or not. Feel of guilt that, for instance, I, you know, left my dad in Belarus, for instance, right? So I'm aware of this feeling that, this emotion that is stuck in my body. And so I have the intention to get rid of it or to heal it. So then I will kind of embody it, this emotion within my body, and you will guide me through letting it go. Is that the process? Or sometimes I come to you and I'm not even aware of what my issue is. And then through your guidance, I'm able to identify a sensation in my body that needs to.
So I would say everything that I do, it's really intention driven. So I don't really work with people that don't know what they are looking for. They might not know why they're feeling it, but that's another way that I don't work like a therapist, is that I'm, you know, yes, there are sometimes a need for multiple sessions, but it's always like, here's the goal. And then you discontinue whenever you feel like you've reached that goal. Okay. So it's when you say like the idea of feeling guilt, it might be there's a feeling, and I might even ask, how do you know you feel guilt? Mm-hmm. What are you literally feeling right now that tells you that? And it starts to become an in for, well, I'm feeling tightness in my shoulders. And then you start working it there, which is basically a way of getting away from stories. Now it's not about stories. Now it's about a feeling in your body. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I bring this up is that, it was just like that person, his name is Dr. Michael Bacucci, became this incredible mentor for me. I studied that work. I became really interested in that work. And the question that was always in the back of my head is, why am I benefiting so much from trauma healing work? Because I don't necessarily have this, like, I didn't think I had PTSD or anything like that. And so it was always, I was in these groups holding space for people that really did have incredible stories of perseverance. And I think I almost felt like, should I feel guilty? Do I belong here? And for me, you know, it was several years later, on a whim, I signed up for like 5 things at the Open Center in New York. And one of them was Family Constellations. And that introduced me to this idea of, you can be experiencing things in your body that are very similar to someone that suffered from a traumatic experience, and you can be experiencing that for someone that you are, that from an ancestor of yours in your family. And it was like, at first was like, what? And then immediately was like this light bulb of, I can see very clearly that my mother's side went through a lot. And suddenly it just occurred to me, like, I was raised by someone that was experiencing PTSD in several ways. And that was kind of like this amazing link for me. And then Family Constellations became this way of actually looking at that and gaining a lot more just appreciation for my background. And I would say you know, as a, my child self was kind of in this thing of like, mom's always nervous. Mom's always anxious. I don't like that. It was like this kind of angsty resentment. And what I would say was like a huge benefit of this work was saying, yeah, you know, mom actually did the best she could in a very tough circumstance. And I could see that actually I have a family member that's a genealogist and she had done the genealogy of my mother's lineage, mm-hmm. which I suspect is because she had felt some of the things I've felt as well. And there's actually quite a long lineage of hardship, basically.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is so profound. Did you have to do your personal family constellation, or just by participating in other constellations, you've realized that, okay, now things in my family kind of make more sense to me?
Yes. So
I think let's maybe talk a little bit about the value of participating in building others' constellations.
Sure.
And to have your own constellation built.
That sounds great. So when you're in the group setting, there are people on the outside of the circle, and then one person is chosen as the client, and then that person works from anywhere between 10 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. So the client is building the family up front. However, the whole group is holding space for them, and as well as some of those people are being picked as representatives. The way the work is, and they've actually done studies, questionnaires of this, that the representatives still receive about 80% of the benefit that the client feels. And it has to do with they question people about their intentions and then track them months afterwards. And part of that is, just like I said, there's this way that we know a lot more about each other than we realize. Someone will get picked, and this happened yesterday, someone will get picked and stand in position and just be like, I know I'm representing your father, but I feel like this, I'm in the exact same position I am in my family personally. And that happens all the time. It's one of those things that mysterious. It just unfolds. It is a bit mysterious. So there's a way where being a representative is incredibly therapeutic and helpful. And also, I think there's just this, even going out to like group therapy in general, things like 12-step or AA, to see other people's families in front of you, it just releases you just a little bit of like, I'm the broken one. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's no one with a normal, perfect family standing in front of you. And you can see the people around you in this group are beautiful, amazing people. So I think there's even just that very, you know, just traditional group therapy experience of you develop a camaraderie and somehow someone in the room just says just the right thing for you at the right moment, which are, I think, beautiful things about group dynamics.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's almost like you feel that everyone came with an intention to, we come to this group workshops with an intention to heal ourselves, but also to help others to heal. And it's wonderful because most people don't know each other. But
since
we deal with our traumas and families, like, you cannot get more vulnerable than that. So a lot of things start opening up in those dynamics.
It's very vulnerable, but I think like the payoff is just that, and the whole group is so safe to be in. It's like amazing to be held with so much respect and dignity by strangers. And I think that's like a power of this work, is to see that there are people that you may never have met that are willing to give you that level of generosity, even though they don't know you.
Right. But the role of moderator, you, is crucial, you know, to kind of have a successful group dynamic. So your personal style, you're very calm. You're probably the calmest healer I've ever met.
Which works for some people and not for others, you know.
Right. But, yeah. So is it just your personality, or was it a deliberate choice of your style as a moderator? Have you experienced different modalities of moderation? Moderation. It's a word? A moderation?
Moderation.
Moderation, yeah.
maybe.
Maybe.
yeah, so I will say that I am predisposed to be calm. That's definitely where I come from. I think I then turn that into like a strength that I go with because of all the trauma healing work that I did. You know, when you're working with people that have suffered very extreme trauma, it's like gentleness is the most important possible thing you can give a person. It's like you don't want to push anything. You don't want to go any further than anyone's comfortable with. And so you start to develop, you speak in a very slow, deliberate way. And it's just about just holding this just ocean of just like safety. And so I think have that naturally, but I also learned it and practiced it for a while. And now it becomes a part of the family work, which is also an extremely vulnerable place where I think calmness and safety is so important.
Mm-hmm. During the workshops or during your personal one-on-one sessions, do you ever feel a conflict, an internal conflict in thinking that you know what the reason is and letting it unfold organically? Does it make sense? Like, I feel sometimes when I've been to two of your workshops, right? And a few times I almost felt that, oh shit, I think now I get why this thing happened in this family, but it was very analytical. And I almost had an urge to share it, but then I also was afraid that this could interfere with a group dynamic evolving organically.
Yeah. So what that makes me think about is when you're doing this work, everyone, like let's say it's a group of 20 people, there's 20 different experiences happening in the room and it's being seen from 20 different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I can actually be kind of a perfectionist. And so that like, and I was telling you about how my mind can race about things and I'll be thinking about, okay, did all 20 people love that? I hope they did. Because I want, you know, it's like there's this like childish need for the gold star in me. Yeah. So part of this work that I love actually is family constellations. If that's the kind of facilitator you are, you get kicked in the ass for that. It's like the family and the field hate being directed in that way, unless that's exactly what needs to be called for, which is less common than it is more common. So I guess there's a little bit of this that's like hard to visualize, I think, for people that might not have been there. But the way I would put it is that my goal is to try to do the least amount possible while allowing something new to happen. Because the client, the person here whose family it is, knows so much more about this situation than I do. So I just want to give what is like one thing that provides this person with a different step than what they're used to. And the one thing I can give them, even though I don't know the story, is that I wasn't a part of the family. So things that might have seemed normal to them, I can kind of see like, oh, that's interesting, because most families don't do that. And sometimes the therapy is just that, to say that's a unique experience.
Yeah, I think actually that's what happened with my constellation yesterday. and I don't want to talk about it too much right now. I'm still digesting. I'll probably talk about it in a couple of weeks. But the insight that you brought, I mean, you just articulated it. The thing about my dad, that he was, you guys all tried to control your father and your family. And I kind of knew it, but because it was never articulated to me in such a blunt and straightforward way, it never really occurred to me that was an issue. And I always felt, no, there has to be something coming from my mother, and there's so much more to my family. And I felt like, oh no, we need to build more, we need to add more people, like my great-grandparents, my father's, my mom's parents. But then just when you said it about my dad, it became so evident to me that, oh shit, I never really, how could I not even think of that? That could be like a huge issue in the family. So yeah, thanks for sharing that.
yeah, and
insight.
Yeah, and then sometimes you do build out and you look at past generations, but I think, you know, what happened in your family of origin and those early years, there's always a certain amount of power to that. So if that seems to be where something new can be introduced, then that's like a great place to do that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Nick. This is What is Love Show on Radio for Brooklyn. And today we are talking about family constellations as a not that new, but quite new alternative therapeutic method of healing. And my guest, Nick Warber, he's doing group dynamic workshops at Maharos, and he's also doing private sessions to help you, get unstuck in your life. So, Nick, I kind of wanted to chat more about more specific examples of healing results that you see in your patients. And also, maybe if you could give us an example of how family structure can affect other structures in a person's life. Let's say how the modality of your family is translated into your work modality, your relationship at work. I think that would be very helpful to our audience to see the connection and probably to identify for them the need to look into their family patterns.
That's great. Yeah, so there's kind of two questions there. So I'll start with, so I'm trying to follow both and think. But it, so when it comes to the healing benefits of the work, you know, a lot of it really is working with the unconscious. So I think one of the benefits of the work is that people start to very organically create new patterns in their life without needing to force it in some way. So there's something about when you are in a session and you realize, you know, if I just stand here or treat my mother or open to my mother in just a little bit of a different way, I'm able to feel a new sense of support in my body. That support can propel you into doing a lot of things that might have felt like insurmountable. So there's a way in which I'm like helping to build something healthy that metaphorically stands behind the person. So if you're imagining family standing behind you, so that what's behind you actually kind of pushes you forward. So how that looks is that I've worked with people that have created much better sex lives with their partners. I've worked with people where something that was such a secret, like almost like a thing, like things that they felt really ashamed of that they had almost blocked from their own mind had come up, and they felt finally safe to say, like, you know, I always felt worried that I was going to like do this to someone or hurt someone. Like, for instance, working with a parent that might have said, you know, I always worried that I was going to somehow hurt my child. It's like, that's the kind of thing that so many people feel so much shame to admit that. But what's helpful about the work is that you can actually look and say, well, you know, there's actually a significance of that in your family. There might have been a history of that. There might have been a child that actually got hurt. It's such a big question. I have my testimonials on my website. That's one way to like answer the question. So people answer all different kinds of things. There are people that feel completely differently in their body. So they might have felt a lot of weight all the time, or they always feel certain tension in their body and it's just like totally lifted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where did it go?
And there's a connection between the, I feel like, two modalities, the family constellation and the somatic healing.
Totally.
Once you're aware of certain dynamics in your family, that awareness sometimes helps you to release them like physically.
I mean, I'm a big proponent that it's, you can get an insight, but it also is so important for like you to feel the insight. Mm-hmm. So there's this relationship of like new experiences need to be felt in the body. And so there's a lot of different ways that happens. But I, you know, in the workshops, like, you know, it's, there are there are so many feelings and emotions that kind of come through the work. And I think that's key. It can't just be like, you know, okay, let me tell you, if you're adopted, here's what happens to all adopted people. Now you know, and you're healed. It really has to be like, you have to feel the resonance in your body or else it doesn't stick.
Mm-hmm. Great. And another part of the question was how do family dynamics transfer to different modalities of our lives? And you can share, if you want, you can share your own example, how you notice that connection of your work relationship.
Yeah.
You know, family relationship.
So, you know, I do a lot of workshops that are themed around work. And it's, I think sometimes might even sound counterintuitive to someone to say like, oh, we're doing a workshop about building better relationships to work and money, but then we're talking about family. Why is that? You know, I would say one way to put it is that our family is almost like the first organization we were ever a part of. And we took in so much information about how to operate in that organization. And there's a way where we feel very safe there, very comfortable. We know how to do that job well. And so when we do these workshops around work, we can talk about work. It didn't happen yesterday, but we could have just set up someone to represent someone's boss or someone to represent someone's coworker. And we could be effective in that way. But there's a way where if we just take one step back and say, okay, this is the dynamic you're having at work, where you're not being paid enough or you feel stuck. If we just say that's what we're looking for, but where might that live in your family? You have this potential to not only open something up about someone's past, but that it reverberates and flows into their work. There is this way where when you clarify things about where you come from, it has an effect on your present. And so that's kind of what the relationship is.
So have you had someone who came to your workshop or the private session with a question, I don't think I get enough money for my work, or I feel uncomfortable asking for more money, or I have this weird relationship with my boss and I've noted the same relationship, the same pattern of relationship, no matter what job I choose. And then by looking at that question, by looking at the family constellation, you're able to find a root of that in the family. So if yes, then what that root could be like?
Definitely. So I'll give you like a classic example. So this is something that, again, it's if you just ask someone on the street, do you feel this way? They might not know. But if you set it up in the session, it might become very clear. There are a lot of people that feel that being more successful than their parents is a form of betraying them.
Holy fuck.
That to become more than them is like a way of leaving them behind. And so some of the work becomes actually what I believe, that it's just the opposite, that you can become successful and it's actually in honor of where you come from. The more successful you are, you're actually proving how much your parents gave to you. But people get that flipped all the time. And so sometimes in the work, it can literally be this thing of, you know, and I'll ask the representative, if you're representing dad for the client, would it feel true for you to say, it would make me happy to see you become successful? And very often the answer is yes to that. The father says that to the client and it just becomes like, that was the sentence that was never said out loud. And I didn't realize how much that was true and that I needed to hear it, definitely. Wow. And so there's a huge thing about permission. Sometimes when it comes to making money and work, feeling like I have permission to be successful from where, based on where I come from.
Wow, it never occurred to me before. This is so profound. I feel this realization. Wow. And what about personal romantic relationship? Have you seen any direct correlations between issues in romantic love and life that is stemming from the family dynamics?
Yeah, so this is the one where it's like,
get into
everyone's a pop psychologist and knows this stuff and somewhere has some idea of it. I mean, you can think of like that thing of, oh, that person, they're always dating their father or something like that.
Okay.
So there's those obvious things that we all have ideas about. But I think what isn't obvious is, okay, why though?
Exactly. Like, why would they?
Why are they doing that?
Exactly.
And especially, I think what comes up a lot.
Especially if, let's say, the relationship, especially if probably the relationship between the parents are not that great, but then why would I date someone who is like my dad, knowing that it's not, it wasn't, it didn't work for my mother, you know, like, so yeah, I don't understand.
It's a very, it's a counterintuitive thing that actually the more you reject a parent, the more likely you're going to find that person in your partner in some way. And it has to do with, again, it's what's unresolved in your family system. You can't run away from it in a way. It comes back around. And there's, you can work on it directly with your family member, or you can heal that with a partner. And so there's a little bit of that. There's also this thing of, look, even if your family, even if you might have said you had an extremely difficult family, or even like a very abusive family, if you're living today, there is a way in which they were successful. Just by living, you have achieved some level of success. You survived. And so you are attracted to find a partner that is like them, because you at least know, at the very least, that partner, you could achieve some success with them.
Wow.
That one can be a little bit of a tough thing to chew on, because a lot of people will say, you know, well, I survived in spite of where I come from.
Right.
But, you know, that's what I do in my work, I would say, is to challenge that view.
Not in spite of, but because of it, or just, I just survived whatever was given to me.
Maybe another way of saying it is, as bad as it was, if you're alive today, you received good enough parenting.
Wow.
It might have been the bare minimum, but it was good enough if you're alive.
Be grateful.
Well, yeah. Or find
it's a whole new show about
Being
grateful to your parents and to the experiences that they have given all of us. Nick, thank you so much. We only have 1 minute left, so I have to finish the episode. This was What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and today we discussed family constellations. I personally recommend this workshop to anyone, even out of curiosity. It's really interesting, it's really profound, and you all will get something beneficial for yourself, I promise. You can easily find Nick.
There's my website. It's Nick, and then my middle initial, N, Werber, Werber.com. I have a workshop at Maha Rose in Greenpoint on September 13th. And then my private practice is on 12th Street, just south of Union Square. Those are the ways to find
it. Awesome. Thank you, Nick. And you guys all have a great Sunday afternoon. And I don't know, call your dad, call your mom, and tell them you love them. Honestly, that's all you can do. That's the least you can do, regardless of how bad or good their parenting was. All right. Have a great Sunday, everyone. Stay with Radio Free Brooklyn.